straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 149, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our good friends at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden, and I'm joined by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And we have a big fish on the hook this week, Texas LSU. And we know someone that has a history in the state of Texas and against Texas. His name's Greg McElroy. He is the host of The First Team, weekday mornings, ESPNU on SiriusXM, College Sports Nation with Danny Cannell. And he's also a color analyst on the Worldwide Leader. He's doing BYU-Tennessee Saturday night. What's up, Greg?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate you being with us. So I just started right off the top. Texas LSU, one of the big early season games. Who do you like, Greg?
Well, I just look at this game a lot of different ways, and I think LSU has a pretty decisive advantage in regards to personnel.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think home field and Tom Herman, just his ability to get his team ready to go as an underdog is something that I've been pretty amazed by, even dating back to his time at Houston, even before that when he was just a coordinator at Ohio State. I mean, it's really amazing to watch him work and watch him operate. So I really like this Texas team a lot. I had them coming into the year to win the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
I just see this LSU team looking a little more like Clemson and Alabama mm-hmm. than maybe any other team in college football. I mean,
wow.
I think that they are in that same realm in regards to talent. I don't think they have the quarterback that Clemson and Alabama have. I think Joe Burrow is solid, but maybe not quite on the same level as Tua and Trevor. But I think this team, in regards to depth and talent and personnel on defense, is pretty special. So I'm really interested to see this one. This is one that I circled in the preseason. It's probably the game I look forward to more than any other on the regular season schedule. And I'm sure it won't disappoint on Saturday.
I'm going to tell you, Greg, Ed Orgeron brings in Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator from the New Orleans Saints. And, man, who would have thought that this is the LSU we'd be seeing after Les Miles and Cam Cameron refused to change with the times. You know, when I saw him do what he did last week with those five first half touchdowns, it reminded me of a game not long ago, yesteryear, 10 years ago, 10 seasons ago. Our very own Greg McElroy beat Texas for the national championship and threw a grand total, Duck, of 11 passes in that game.
I bet his arm was sore.
His arm had to be just about to fall off. But you had Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson in that backfield. 41 carries for over 200 yards, 4 touchdowns. And you had a guy named Julio Jones on your team. 1 catch for 23 yards. What does that say about how the game has changed since you played it?
Well, it's changed a lot. And I can tell you my arm was not sore, but my ribs were. I had broken ribs in that game. It was rough. But I'll tell you this much. It's changed a lot, and I think it's probably because of the RPO and also just the fact that offensive lines across college football, because of the spread offense, because of the way we've cut down on practice time, even at the high school level, and just how skilled and great people have gotten at quarterback and wide receiver because of the 7-on-7 element.
Exactly.
And how much younger these kids are starting. I think all of that has kind of led to it becoming very pass-happy. Running the football is hard nowadays in college football. And back in the day, I mean, used to have great skilled offensive lines. Now everyone's offensive line stinks. At least it feels like it does relative to back in the day. So I think it's changed a lot. I think it has a lot to do with the fact of, like I said, the 7-on-7s, but also just the lack of practice time that you get. People are trying to take the onus of the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And by creating RPOs, it neutralizes the talent advantage that some teams might have. And now even the best teams are saying, well, gosh, they're trying to neutralize the talent. Well, why don't we just take advantage of the rules? And now you're seeing even the best teams run those versus the RPOs, like Alabama and Clemson and LSU and others. So it's been probably 6 or 7 years in the making, Now teams have started to kind of evolve, but it was kind of inevitable. Just when you started to see great defense getting spread so thin and the amount of points that were being put up even against really quality competition. So it's offense that I really wish I could have played in, for sure, because it looks like it'd be a lot of fun, but it's definitely advantageous to play quarterback at this time, this era of college football.
But to continue that thread with the quarterback, Greg, how would you break down the Burrow versus Sam Ellinger battle as far as Texas LSU game?
Yeah, I'd rather have Ellinger as my guy. The only thing that worries me is because of just how thin Texas is at running back.
Right.
I worry about Ellinger getting overexposed in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
I really worry about him having to carry it 25 times. That's just not sustainable.
No.
I don't care how big and physical and tough he is. Doing that up against LSU and other teams that they're going to see throughout the schedule concerns me. So I really hope that they can identify some depth at running back and figure out a way to not put that burden on their quarterback. But I just like his intangibles, too. I like Burrow. I mean, I think Burrow's grown a little bit, since last year. Last year, I thought he struggled throughout the course of the early part of the regular season and then started to play a little better down the stretch, got a little more comfortable. But I've been really blown away with Ellinger. I'll be first one to tell you, when he first got to campus, I didn't think he was the answer. I didn't think he was the guy that was bound to bring Texas back. I just didn't think he was supremely talented. But I think I overanalyzed and overmeasured just how good his intangibles were. I mean, he's a guy that's a great leader, that's very tough and physical, and the guys play hard for him. So there's something to be said for that. I've been really impressed with how he's grown as a passer, too. I never felt like he was supremely talented throwing the football, but he gets by. And I think he understands his strengths and weaknesses, and that's part of what's made me really appreciate him. I love guys that understand where their deficiencies are, and they maneuver around them. So I've been impressed by his growth quite a bit. When I didn't think it was in him, it certainly is, and it's been fun to watch him develop over the last couple of years.
Yeah, he just really transformed, maybe the biggest transformation I've ever seen in a quarterback from year one to year two, so... You know, I'm right there with you. But as far as the relevance of this game, you know, I don't know if it's more important to one team or the other. I kind of think maybe toward Texas because, you know, LSU's going to get that RPI bump from playing in the SEC. So do you think the loser could be dead for college football playoff purposes?
Man, it's really tough to say.
So early.
Both these teams, it's so early, like mm-hmm. you said. I mean, if you want me to play – you know, everyday radio host, yes, loser's out. Like, you know, but as a player, like, I'm just too conditioned to think there's just such a long season remaining. I mean,
yeah.
Is it likely that either one of these two teams goes 11-0 the rest of the way?
Yeah.
You know, probably not.
Yeah.
In today's day and age, I mean, we see clunkers even from some of the most talented teams.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
right.
Ohio State lost by 5 touchdowns last year. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Alabama, the national championship, lost by 4.
Yeah.
And we saw Clemson come within a 4th and 6 of losing to a Syracuse team that's solid but hardly spectacular.
For sure.
Yeah,
so,
and don't forget the A&M fumble that wasn't against Clemson. That bad call.
Mean,
I mean that helped them too.
I mean Clemson, that's true, early in the season, and that was before we even really knew what Clemson was. I mean, frankly, Clemson at that point in the season was really vulnerable.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Kelly Bryant, but they weren't anywhere near the team at the end of the year that they were at the beginning. So the player in me would always say, no, heck no. There's no way a team that's out. Because you look at the Big 12 this year, and I think the Big 12 is the third best league, top to bottom. But I think they're closer to 2 than they are to 4.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think the gap between them, I think the SEC is the best. I think the Big 10's second best. But I tell you what, I think the Big 12's within striking distance of the Big 10, for sure. And if Texas were to win the Big 12 at 11-2 and avenge their loss to, let's just say, Oklahoma and the Big 12 championship, then I think it's absolutely within reason, especially if they play LSU close and the game's tight, then
right.
It's absolutely within reason that they can get into the playoff. And if LSU were to lose, yeah, the likelihood of them going the rest of the way at 10-0 is pretty slim, just knowing that they have Florida and Alabama and Auburn and so many other good games and other good teams on their schedule. I think they need it more because I think their margin for error is going to be more thin throughout the course of the regular season, because it's just impossible to expect them to run that gauntlet going to Tuscaloosa and playing all those teams. It's impossible to expect them to be undefeated at season's end. But I tell you what, man, I think both these teams, regardless of the outcome on Saturday, I think both of them are in the hunt. I was really impressed with how mature they showed themselves to be last week, because it would have been really easy to look ahead and play poorly. I thought both teams handled their business, LSU more so than Texas, but I didn't think Texas's performance against La Tech was ugly by any stretch of the imagination. So, I don't know, man. I really think that both these teams have the recipe to get in. I had Texas just barely out of my college football playoffs. I think they are going to be 11-2 with a loss here, potentially 10-3. I still think they win the Big 12. I'm still on that train. I'm going to ride it because I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment on the OU bandwagon after Sunday's performance. But I still think Texas wins the Big 12 this year. I just don't know if they're quite ready yet to make it in the college football playoff. Like, next year would be the year when all this young nucleus can kind of come back with a clear mind as to how to get it done. And 2020 would be the year that I'd point to for the Longhorns. As far as LSU is concerned, I think that they can do it this year, but it's going to require the stars to align.
Yeah, and we've been saying that. Texas just feels like next year's team. They do. Like they're a year away.
What's funny is I think Texas and Georgia, and when you really look at it, I know they played each other, and however much stake you want to put into it, how do so as you please. If you want to say it was a huge game and Texas was trying and Georgia wasn't, that's fine too. It doesn't really matter. But I still think both those two teams are about a year away.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I would not at all be surprised if Georgia and Texas are in the college football playoff in 2020. But I don't know. I think they might just be a little bit further behind in some spots than some other teams that are also vying at this point. In 2019.
Well, last football question for me, Greg. If there's a guy that's not Joe Burrow, Sam Ehlinger, that you are excited to watch on Saturday night, who would it be?
I love Grant Delpit, the safety. I think both teams have excellence. I think Caden Sturge for Texas is awesome, too. I'm a really big fan of his. But I love Delpit. I think Delpit's really special. His intangibles, I think the matchup, because I actually like Texas's wide receivers, even though he's a South Lake Carroll boy. I felt like Lil Jordan Humphrey, I felt like they could replace his production. So I actually like Texas's receivers, and that's the matchup that I'm probably most fascinated by, is Texas's receivers, who I think are a good group that doesn't get the love they deserve, against LSU's defensive backs, who are the best in college football, arguably as a group. So I think that could be, especially if Texas is hesitant to try to lean heavily on the run game, that's probably the matchup that I'd really like to watch. I mean, between Justin Eagle and Duvernay up against Christian Fulton and the freshman and Delpit. I mean, that's some really, really intriguing stuff that I think people are going to really be tuned into. And I can tell you scouts will be tuned into that as well.
For sure. Another big game, Clemson A&M at Death Valley. You give the Aggies a chance to pull off the upset?
I give them a chance. I think they're going to have to play, almost perfect. It's really going to put a huge onus on their defensive line. That's probably the position group that they feel best about. And if their defensive line is able to create a bit of a pass rush while still stopping the run and not forcing them to put an additional defender in the box defensively, because probably the best thing that happened last week was that Trevor Lawrence struggled. That's probably the best thing for Clemson, because Trevor Lawrence didn't play well,
right?
And Travis Etienne completely took over ownership of the offense. Now it's like, oh, shoot, well, we either put an extra guy in the box to stop the run and force us to play one-on-one on the back end, which no one wants to do against Clemson wide receivers, or you spread them out, you play zone, you try to stop the run with seven in the box up front, not try to put an additional defender in there, and you cover zone. But now you're in a tough spot trying to slow down ATN in that offense.
Right, right.
So I think it's a pick your poison type of approach, neither of which are advantageous. But if you have a really disruptive front four, like A&M does, then you have a chance. But those guys are going to have to play an insanely good game.
Mm-hmm.
And their secondary is going to have to win one-on-ones
yep.
in some cases. And that's not easy to do against a receiver core that's that talented. So yep. I don't love their chances.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be closer than the experts think.
Right.
Because Jimbo and A&M are so tough and so physical. But I still think that Clemson's the better team at this point, and A&M's still maybe a year or two away.
Hey, do you have time to play our quick hot corner quiz real quick?
Yeah, no worries.
Okay,
yeah,
real quick, last book you read.
Oh, last book I read.
Or your favorite book, either one.
My favorite book. Favorite book's probably Five People Meet in Heaven. I love that one. But
by Mitch Albom?
I read... the book I read most recently, which is kind of sickening, and I hate to like disclose this, I'm too scared to see the movies, so I read it. I read it last fall.
They're not
scary.
It took
me the whole football season, but I just won't see the movies, so I refuse. But I was curious what it was all hyped up to be. So I read it last fall, but I feel like when I tell people that, they judge me. just because they think I'm a psycho, but I actually kind of enjoyed the book, even though it was definitely a little intense
yeah.
for some casual fall time reading.
Okay, Sid, what do you got?
Yeah, and the books are much better than the movies. Who would play Greg McElroy in the movie about his life?
Well, it's got to be Johnny Mock. Like, my life is basically Varsity Blues as a Texas high school football player. was a backup forever until I got my chance. So I guess James Vanderbeek, right?
I like it.
He played Johnny Moxon for the West Canaan Coyotes. as a Texas kid, I feel like that would be an appropriate pick.
That would be good.
Hey, our good friend Olin Buchanan was the guy in the movie that interviewed him in the parking lot. He's our buddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He's our buddy.
Yeah. All right. How about this?
Funny. I remember that. And he asked maybe the worst. Oh heck! I just want to thank God.
Yeah,
that's
the
pretty
one.
Pretty rough. That was a pretty rough interview. By
okay.
Moxon. And then his girlfriend called him out. That was tough.
Oh yeah. Then there's a whipped cream scene, but we won't talk about that. What would you be doing if you weren't in football? What would you be doing for a career?
I would probably, I think like cooler heads prevail. I would say I'd be in sports somewhere because I think I had an expectation to go into politics or
mm-hmm.
or get my degree and get my law degree. But I don't know, like looking at the climate right now, that sounds like a miserable profession.
Yeah, it probably
so I think
is.
I'd probably just, I think I'd probably just stick to something that I really, really enjoy.
Uh-huh.
And that's sports. So I would probably stay in sports in some way, shape or form, whether that be at the professional level or in college. My dad worked in sports my whole life and I just couldn't ever veer too far away from a law firm.
Right.
So, I would envision myself in some way, shape, or form still being involved there.
All right, my last one. Your celebrity crush.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, I've had a few over the years. Like, growing up, it was, I don't know, Christina Applegate was like when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
As I would watch me, you know, Married with Children.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was kind of Jessica Biel, like high school. And then it was Britney Spears, like middle school, high school, Jessica Simpson in there as well. But I've kind of matured. I'd say right now, like Anne Hathaway and Margot Robbie are probably like my biggest crushes, I guess.
Can't go wrong.
In the celebrity world right now. So
can't go wrong.
I don't know. I think they're both super talented and both just seem awesome. So.
And
I would
hot.
Say that's it, for fear of my wife hearing me downstairs. As I get the interview.
She's not listening.
She's
trust
not
me.
Listening.
Trust me, she's not listening.
Okay, here's the last one, then we'll let you go. Give us something people don't know about you, whether you've bowled a 300 perfect game, you got a 4-point GPA, any hobby, special skill, just something people don't know about you.
Well, I love the golf. I mean, golf... I would say something that people probably don't know is baseball is actually my favorite sport.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I love baseball. I'm a diehard Los Angeles Dodgers fan. I'm from LA originally. Moved to Texas at 10, but the Dodgers love was so deeply ingrained prior to our move that I've stuck with the Dodgers from the very beginning. And they broke my heart some years. They made the playoffs a bunch, but they broke my heart, especially the last two. To see the Astros win before the Dodgers is pretty eye-opening as a kid from the state of Texas. But it really is pretty amazing to watch them play. But, yeah, I would say baseball is my favorite sport. I wasn't good enough. That was kind of it. I thought I was going to be a baseball player, and sure enough, I think that I was way better at football than I was at baseball. Yeah. It's pretty alarming just considering what I was as a kid, but yeah, and I love golf too. Like golf is probably football is work.
Yeah.
Like I love the sport, but it's now become kind of work. So,
oh, yeah.
Right.
It's definitely a passion. I mean, don't get me wrong. You have to be passionate about what you do in this industry because it just never ends. Just love it. I live for it.
Yeah.
But now like when I'm getting away from work, I think about golf and baseball almost exclusively. And I just started playing golf a few years back and have gotten pretty decent. So, I'm enjoying that part of it, but the golf clubs are put away until at least February, and I'm full football grind mode until then.
I love it. Well, you need to get brave and go see a horror movie in the theater. I'm not a horror movie guy either, but to get the full experience, you probably need to go in the theater.
I'm not paying for that experience, I can assure you. I'm not doing it. I refuse. I'll read the book.
Like, there you go.
If there's a horror movie, I'll read the book. And the last horror movie I saw was Sixth Sense. And
ooh, good one.
It scarred me pretty good.
Yeah. Love that movie.
Bruce Willis, yeah.
When the girl grabbed his leg as he was standing by the bed, like that scarred me for like 6-7 years. So I'm probably not going to... probably not going to be going into a theater movie or a theater anytime soon to see a horror movie.
Well, man, thanks for joining us, man. We love talking to you. We could talk to you all afternoon, but appreciate you dropping in and dropping some knowledge on us, buddy.
All right. Appreciate it, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Greg.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
On Second Thought.
Doug, I think this game's going to be about the quarterbacks. What do you think?
No question about it. And I was thinking about that today. Who's got the edge at quarterback? Because you got Joe Burrow, who's a grad transfer now. He's a fifth-year senior, I guess, having transferred from Ohio State. Looked good last year. Looked great. 4 touchdowns in the Fiesta Bowl against UCF. Threw 5 last week against Georgia Southern, admittedly inferior competition. But he's a veteran quarterback. Everybody says he's just gotten better and better. And Sam's as good a quarterback as they've had here since Colt McCoy.
Yes, he is. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a classic case of whichever quarterback plays the best, I think that team's going to win the game. I know it's simplistic thinking given the defenses and the skill positions, but I just think these two guys are so important. I was watching a little television the other day, and I came across Ed Orgeron, the LSU coach, was asked about Sam Ehlinger, and listen to what he had to say.
You know, he reminds me a little bit of Tebow. And I was at another school, and we had to play Tebow. And I'm not saying he's as good as Tebow. I'm not saying he's not, but he reminds me of that type of player, but he's a better thrower.
How about those Tim Tebow comparisons, Duck?
Yeah, I don't know if he's Tim Tebow light or maybe Tim Tebow heavy because he's a much better passer than Tebow ever was. But
just like Ed said.
Yeah, they really remind me of the same type of guy with their physical bruising running style and intangibles off the chart. They'll do anything to win. They're great leaders. They're vocal. They just, you know, I asked Sam this week. I said, you live for games like this, don't you? And he just looked at me and smiled and said, I love it. I love it. And you know he does. And, you know, Colt McCoy, Major Applewhite, and Vince were that type too. They just couldn't wait till game day because they were going to do something big. And, you know, the other thing too, I worry though because Sam's probably going to have to run more on Saturday, don't you think?
Well, hey, I'm writing that. And if you check out tomorrow's paper, I'm writing that. He's going to have to be so great. But he's also going to have to throw it a lot, Doug,
a lot,
because they don't have any running backs. They got one running back, and they're going to have a tough time thinking they can just pound it into that line with one Keontae Ingram. And how much do you throw Rashawn Johnson and David Benda into this fire? So
wow.
I think if I am Tom, and you're going to read this in the paper, I spread them out. I let Sammy throw it 50 times and quick drops. Keep the pressure off, and get those cornerbacks, keep them honest, limit the blitzes, because he's going to have to be – you thought he was good in the first game. He's going to have to be even better for them to have a chance to win this game.
No, he is, and you're right. He's going to distribute the ball, and he's going to have to make quick throws. They're going to have to maximum protect as best they can, but I don't see him chunking it downfield a whole lot because they're going to come after Sam. You know,
I don't think he's chucking it downfield either. I think, but he's chucking it. 50
he's chucking
times.
It. He's chucking a lot of dump passes, a lot of bubble screens,
a lot of what you saw early.
You know, you mentioned 50 passes, and the way it looked against La Tech, I thought Devin Duvernay was going to catch 50 passes.
And
I
mean, he liked it too. He was happy about that.
A lot of bubble screens. Colin Johnson said that was their game script going into the La Tech game, and you know, he hadn't dropped a pass this year or last year, so why wouldn't you throw to him?
I mean, just a guy that we both earmarked for being really good this year.
He's
already off to a great start. 9 catches in one game. He's on pace. He'll probably catch 70 to 75 passes this year.
Oh, I think you're right. And you know, both he and Colin look really good coming out of the gate. And Brennan Eagles is maybe a hidden gem.
Mm-hmm.
And
can run.
He may not be hidden anymore. And big guy too. So. You know, he got his first 2 touchdowns as a Longhorn, and boy, I tell you what, Sam's got some weapons to throw to. So does Joe Burrow.
Let me ask you this though: if you're Tom Herman and you see the plight at running back, and you look out and you see Colin Johnson on one side, and you see Devin Duvernay in the slot, and Brennan Eagles the other, and Cade Brewer patrolling the middle, why don't you make it a throwing game?
Oh, I think it will be. I think you're right.
Is this going to be a 24-17 or a 45-37?
I can't see 45-37. I think these defenses are better than that. I think it's more 31-27, you know, 28-27, something like that. I don't think it'll be a track meet.
How many combined passing yards will Burrow and Sam end up with?
Combined, I would say maybe 700 yards.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a shootout.
Maybe three.
Man.
Well, that doesn't mean they're going to score all the time.
No, but 700 yards passing, that's a lot of wide open. That's a lot of receivers running routes.
Well, you got to play to your strength. No question about it. So it's just going to be a hell of a game. And I hope it's a competitive game one way or the other. I mean, you know, I know Texas fans are rooting for a blowout. And, hey, they got their first taste of a blowout under Tom Herman, really,
mm-hmm.
when you think about it. Although the Sugar Bowl was a blowout for all practical purposes.
They won by 7.
That was a blowout.
No, they They handled business. They didn't blow them out.
So what scares you most about LSU?
The defense.
Yeah. Secondary.
I'm not as worried about Joe Burrow. I think Texas is going to handle their end off defensively, the secondary. If they can get a semblance of a pass rush against him, that's a big if.
Going to see that cowboy package,
yeah,
8 DBs?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to see a little bit of that. But the front seven's got to hold their end. LSU's going to test them physically early.
They are. Early and often.
Because they come in going, we're playing a Big 12 team. Let's see if they're as tough as they think they are. We're going to run it right at them and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, kicking game is going to be important, you know.
Your boy missed one.
Missed one.
49.
49.
Yeah, it was a big one.
You know, I wouldn't hold that against him, but I think they're so much better in kick returns. You saw Duvernay, you know, had the opening kickoff 36 yards, almost broke it till the kicker, you know, slowed him down. But I think he's going to break one or two this year, Duvernay. So a lot of times it's the kick coverage that kind of gets him sideways. So, but
priority one for the Texas Longhorns, keep Sam Ehlinger clean.
Absolutely,
you got to have him in the starting lineup next week.
Yeah, and every week,
and every week after that. Who you picking? Let's just get that out there.
I was afraid you were going to ask.
I know. I saw you over there cringing.
I am just going back and forth. And you know, usually when I go back and forth, usually I revert to my tiebreakers, which is usually okay. Either who's the best quarterback. And that may be, I think, slightly better with Sam. And then where's the game? And it's at home. So I'm going to take Texas by field goal.
You know what? I've been talking LSU, been leaning toward LSU. LSU's a 5.5-point favorite. If I'm betting that game, I take Texas with the points. I think it's a fourth quarter game. And I'm gonna go with the team that has the momentum. Give me the Texas Longhorns.
Wow, you were picking LSU at lunchtime.
I was thinking LSU at lunchtime, but I've changed my mind, Kirk Bowles. I think the Texas Longhorns are going to win this game 34-31.
I say 31-28. Texas.
I love it. I love it.
On Second Thought.
Duck Ezekiel Elliott got his money.
No big surprise.
What was 6-year, $90 million?
Yeah, and what, $50 million guaranteed? That's the most money. Important number. He just became a rich man. Rest of his life.
You know what? You can basically file this under people whose lives don't suck.
Yep.
You hang out in Cabo waiting on your lottery ticket to come in, and then it comes in. You don't have to go to training camp.
Yeah.
And you're in shape. He looked pretty good.
Is he in football shape?
I don't know. That's a different deal.
All right, before we do that, what did you think, as I do, Zeke's the clear big winner?
Of course.
Okay, the second part of that. How big a loser is Jerry in this whole arrangement?
He's not a loser at all.
But he talked big and didn't back it up.
You know what? He knows deep down inside that he can't run a football. He can't catch a football. Ezekiel Elliott is the best football player on the Dallas Cowboys.
No question.
And he had to get his money. He's a running back who's the tread on the tires of a running back are a lot thinner than they are on a quarterback or a wideout. So he had to take his shot. He got his money. The Cowboys open up on Sunday against the Giants, and Zeke will be on the field. There's no reason for him not to play. Jason Garrett already intimated that he's part of the system and he's going to play. So,
well, he runs over defenses and actually ran over Jerry as well and stole his wallet. Let me ask you, as far as going forward, he had 2 years left in his contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, deep down, he had no leverage except the leverage that Jerry ain't getting any younger. He desperately wants another Super Bowl championship and knows he can't get there without Zeke.
He had to do what he had to do.
Yeah, but what about Prescott?
What about Prescott?
He didn't have his money.
That's okay.
I don't know.
There's lots of Dak Prescott's out there, sir.
Well, exactly. And don't you think that's going through Dak Prescott's mind?
Yeah, but Dak Prescott knows that he will command more money because he's going to be handing it off to 21, and that's going to open up a lot more avenues for him as far as this offense being successful.
Now, I'd be worried if I was Prescott.
Yeah, but he's not going to get $35 million or $40 million that was reportedly. He suggested, but he's going to get a good piece of coin.
Maybe. He's not a max quarterback.
He's not, and he probably understands that, but he's going to get his money. Remember, he's a fourth-round pick, so we never expected him to even be this good.
But here's the rub on this. Whatever happens, things go south, he has a mediocre year. He may never get that contract.
Well, and that's on him. You know. That's on him. If he has a mediocre year with Zeke Elliott as his running back behind that offensive line and that really good defense,
but he doesn't have great skills.
Yeah, but you know what? He had his moments last year when Amari Cooper showed up. Dak Prescott put up some numbers.
I'm just thinking money. If I'm Dak Prescott and I know I may only play in this league another 5 years or so, I got to get my money, and that's what Zeke got, and that's what Collins got, and, you know, Amari Cooper's in line, you know. So I'd be a little bit worried if I was Dak Prescott.
Yeah, a little bit worried, but you can't be worried about it right now. You just got to go in.
Oh, yeah.
Try to get to that Super Bowl that people are low-key talking about.
Well, what do you mean low-key?
Well, you know, I always take it with a grain of salt. I'm all around a lot of Cowboy fans, and every year is a Super Bowl year. Let's keep it real. 1995, last time they played in the Super Bowl.
I got them in the Super Bowl.
What's wrong with you?
Hey, is this
how not, many years have you been doing this, Kirk Bowles? Come on, you can't have
long.
The Dallas Cowboys playing in a Super Bowl.
Question, is this not the best team Jerry's had since the 90s?
That 13-3 team that lost to the New York Giants was really good. When Patrick Creighton missed that catch over the middle, they would have gone to the Super Bowl that year. They were that good.
My point is, this is a pretty good team. This is an elite team. This is a top 10 in the league team.
Yes.
They got, like you mentioned, Cooper. I was wrong about that. I thought they gave up too much. But that's a perfect trade.
One of the best moves Jerry's ever made.
And I think Michael Gallup's getting better and better.
He's going to have a good year.
And Jason Witten's only 52 years old.
Oh, my God. He's about 3 years younger than you.
Yeah, he'll catch, you know, maybe three passes a game for 10 yards because not a whole lot of yak.
Not
you know, with Chase.
He's like
Whitten.
The Fred Flintstones. Like he's running in one place and not going anywhere.
But see, here's the other reason. I mean, they open. Got the Giants at home. That's a bad opponent.
I'll be there.
They go to the Redskins.
I won't be there.
Bad opponent. Third game, they're hosting the Dolphins. Maybe the worst team in the NFL. So, you're 3-0. You got Zeke back. He's a terror behind that offensive line. And they are on their way to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. Who do you have them playing, Professor?
I have them playing the winner. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, my God.
With the best offense in all of football.
Andy Reid gets a Super Bowl?
Well, he deserves one.
He does.
He's probably the second best coach in the league, don't you think?
I put him, we have that question this weekend's
we do.
NFL preview.
Be out Sunday.
Yeah, so I think I had him in my top five with Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton. Of course, Belichick's number one.
So I got Chiefs over the Cowboys. Who do you got, sir?
I have the New Orleans Football Saints over the. I almost said the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, we're you
both
wanted
gonna,
to.
We're both going to have to get committed. New Orleans Saints over the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Is Drew Brees too old?
Is Tom Brady too old?
Well, obviously not.
Well, then Drew Brees is younger than Tom Brady. What's your point?
Well, the Patriots just won another Super Bowl. Saints didn't.
The Saints were robbed by the refs.
Oh,
the Saints should have been in the Super Bowl last year.
Hey, they keep that up. They'll be lucky to have a winning season. That's yesterday. That's last year. Patriots do it year after year after year.
Well, if your John Tyler Bowles' Patriots aren't going to do it, according to you, in 2019, well, the Patriots going to finish?
You know what? They're going to win their division just because that division's weak. Mm-hmm. Miami is awful. Buffalo's getting better. Jets are getting better, but they pose no threat. So, you know, you've got those teams in. You got a ready-made, you know, 6-7 wins there, you know. They'll get in the playoffs, but I think this could be the beginning of the end. There's no Gronkowski, you know, Josh Gordon, you know, peeing a cup. I mean, is he going to be there game day or not?
He'll make it, but he won't make it through half the season. I just think, you know, that goes to show you, man, if you can run a 4.3 and you're 6'5", they will give you chance after chance after chance. If Josh Gordon was a 5'7 deep snapper who couldn't run 40 yards under 5 seconds, we wouldn't even know him.
That's right.
But he's a stud athlete.
Right.
I hope he gets his life together. But, man, I'm so tired of talking about Josh Gordon.
Yeah, and they're more of a running team now. Sony Michel had 6 touchdowns in the playoffs alone. They got James White. They got Burkhead. They've got a lot of running backs there. So, you know.
So where do they finish? They're going to finish 11-5, 12-4?
I would say probably 11-5, 12-4 win their division and but don't make it to the Super Bowl.
And where do you have the Cowboys finishing win-wise?
I got them with 11-5 record winning the NFC least.
I think I'm going to have them at like 10-6, and I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wait a minute. You were making so much fun of me. You've got one win less than the Cowboys.
Yeah, but you're trying to give them a Lombardi trophy.
But you got them
you're
in the playoffs,
you're
don't
an
you?
Idiot. They always make the playoffs now.
Well, hey, they made
the
playoffs.
But they're not going to make it to the promised land. Here's the MO for Dallas. Make the playoffs, win one game, go away. That's it.
We may see that change.
So they're going to go 10-6. They're going to lose the division to the Philadelphia Eagles. They'll win their first round game, and then they'll lose in the divisional round, probably to the eventual Super Bowl champion, New Orleans Football Saints. How about that?
They'll get to Miami, but then they'll lose to the Chiefs. Who's your MVP, by the way?
My MVP, Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that, you're just making my case for me.
Those are stats, sir.
Yeah.
Those are stats.
You know who I got as a runner-up?
Dak Prescott.
Zeke Elliott.
Stupid.
He may rush for 2,000 yards.
Here's the problem. No, he's not ready. He's not ready. It's going to take him two or three games to get his legs.
Okay.
He's not going to rush for 2 G's. They won't let him.
Well, we got the Chiefs, you know, representing the AFC, turn into the other in that same league, Houston Texans.
Oh my God!
You know,
No Lamar Miller.
No Jadeveon Clowney.
That's big.
That is very big.
Chuck Aminihue is going to be happy about that, the Texas X.
Yeah,
he's going to get some run now.
He gets some more minutes, though. So, you know, summarize the Texans. You like them, don't like them,
I'm just not a big fan of Bill O'Brien.
I'm not either.
I'm not a B.O.B. fan. losing Lamar Miller is big. I love me some Deshaun Watson, friend of the podcast, friend of Gatehouse.
Yes.
But I really think that they just missed their shot. That loss last year to the Colts was big. They had a talented squad, and they just didn't show up.
They did not. I was at the game. They did not show up.
They scored 7 points in a playoff game.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. They were never in that game.
And you know what? The Colts own them. The Andrew Luck Colts owned Houston. They just owned them.
Yeah. Well, they picked up Laremy Tunsil, talented offensive tackle from the Dolphins.
With the gas mask, that guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Deshaun got sacked 62 times, NFL high, 62 times. I don't think Tunsil is going to be able to fix the entire line.
No, but he can
that's
at least
a big upgrade.
But they had Matt Khalil penciled in to protect his blind side. They make the trade for Laremy Tunsil, and then they just kick Matt Khalil to the curb.
How weird is that? You're starting left tackle. You get him released.
He gone.
So.
Just like that, he's gone.
But like you touched on Lamar Miller, that's a loss. No Deontay Foreman anymore. Although he got cut by the Colts, did he not?
No, they put him on IR. He tore his biceps.
Yeah.
He's on IR.
All right, so, I mean, can Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde carry the load?
You know what? It's never been a running back-centric team. So,
no, you're
not
right.
Since Arian Foster left. So I would go, you know what? They're going to put a lot on the arm of Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins. They bring in Kenny Stills. Will Fuller, can he get through a season without getting hurt?
Probably not.
So they have some talent offensively.
They got a lot of talent offensively.
J.J. Watt on defense. They still have a sturdy, sturdy defense. But you get rid of Jadeveon Clowney, man.
That's a lot of sacks.
That's a lot of sacks. And that's a lot of pressures. Even if he doesn't get home, there's still a lot of pressures that can disrupt offenses. So
what's your record? For the Texans?
I'm going to, I want to say 8-8, but I'm not. I'm going to go 9-7. Andrew Luck leaving the league, I think, helps Houston's cause in that division. I think Nick Foles going to Jacksonville is definitely an upgrade. Not a huge one. Now, don't get me wrong. Nick Foles had a hot postseason, but let's not canonize him just yet. We know he's better than Blake Bortles. And Mariota, I think they want him out of Tennessee. They're very disappointed with him.
He's a bust.
He seems like a bust. So I think with the state of the quarterbacking in that division, and it is a quarterback's league, Duck, I think it might end up being the worst division in all of football. And I think 9-7 wins that division. I got the Texans at 9-7.
Well, I've been toggling between 9-7 and 10-6, and here's part of the reason. Let me read to you their first six games, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You tell me whether they're going to win or lose. Open at New Orleans.
That's an L.
Home against Jacksonville.
I'm going to give them a win.
Okay, I will too. At the L.A. Chargers.
Loss.
Agree. Home against Carolina.
I don't like Carolina this year.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan
either.
Win. Okay, home against Atlanta.
Loss.
Even though
I'm going to tell you this, having followed the Falcons, they're not a very good road team.
Yeah, and then the sixth game at Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, that's an L.
I mean, we both got them there with 2-4 record first six weeks of the season.
Well, you remember
that's possible.
Remember they started 0-4 and won like 9 in a row.
0-3, yeah.
Yeah, 0-3 and won a lot of games.
But like you said, that was a weak division. So, I don't know. I want to like them better.
And they might beat Atlanta at home.
They might.
Man, that's a good game. I hope we get to go to one of us goes to that one.
Yeah, well, let's go to our surprise teams. Who should our listeners, maybe take a flyer on who they might like? Put a dime on them.
I kind of like what Kyle Shanahan's doing out there in San Francisco,
Why?
Fam.
Why?
Well, first of all, you get Jimmy G back healthy. And remember when Jimmy G started out last year after that trade? They racked up 5 wins in a row. He gave them a little bit of swagger. So they got Tevin Coleman and a good-looking rook. Is it Darius Geis on that team?
He's on the Redskins.
Who's the guy?
Tevin Coleman.
No, who's playing with Tevin Coleman? There's another
Matt Breida.
That's right. The Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman, and there's one other.
Well,
really
McKinnon's
good.
On IR.
Yeah, but there's another young guy. But those two guys, give them what they need in the backfield. They've got a top 5 tight end in George Kittle.
yeah,
who's really
top
good.
Top three, maybe.
Top three, and the defense is retooled. So I can see them making a little noise. I can see them going 8-8. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but from 8-8 compared to where they've been is really good.
Well, my team is the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, talk to me, sir. Why?
Well, I just think people might be sleeping on the Colts because Frank Reich, I love him. I think he's a up-and-coming head coach. And yes, I know, Andrew Luck doesn't live there anymore, or if he does, he doesn't play there anymore. They still have a great offensive line and a really, really budding defense over there. And like you said, they came into Houston and just shut them down first round of the playoffs last year. And, you know, you still got good running backs, Marlon Mack, Naeem Hines, you know, T.Y. Hilton's there to catch passes. You know, Eric Ebron, what did he have, like 50 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, 13, but close enough.
He was crazy. He did nothing with the Lions, and he goes to the Colts. So I think Frank Reich, and I know it's Jacoby Brissett with Brian Hoyer's backup, I think they're going to surprise people. I think they could go, they can go 8-8. I don't think they're going to have quite enough to make the playoffs, but the Colts are my sleeper. Who you got?
I like the Colts, and I don't like Jacoby Brissett that much. I like the fact that he negotiated his own contract.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. That means you don't have to pay an agent.
Well, exactly, as long as you do a good job.
Yeah, and apparently he did. He got his money. That offensive line with Big Quentin Nelson up front is one of the best in the league.
Really is.
And Marlon Mack might run wild this year because they're just going to need those running backs a lot more to take the pressure off of Jacoby Brissett. So I like the Colts. I think they're going to be an old-school type offense. It's not going to be the Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Adrian James Colts, but it's going to be a pretty efficient crew. I like that 8-8 for the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, NFL's in full swing starting tonight. Packers and the Bears.
Yeah, Packers and the Bears tonight. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I know he's probably on the downside now, and that Bears defense is great. But remember, this time last year, he got hurt against the Bears and was not really the same.
No, you're right.
For the rest of the year, so they want to try to keep him clean, but I think there's a little bit of controversy with the play calling with Matt LaFleur limiting audibles. I think they're making too much of it.
Yeah, they'll get along fine.
Aaron Rodgers is going to change the play if he wants to change the play because he's Aaron Rodgers.
You know, he's going to be allowed to change the play or they'll be allowed to change the head coach. So.
One last thing, Duck. Yeah. I know that we had our OFL Office Fantasy League draft.
Now, why'd you have to bring it up?
Because you have the best team.
I do not. I may have the worst team.
For all of you, he has Philip Rivers as his quarterback. How great is that? And tell him who else you got. Who you got at running back?
Well, that's where I'm hurting. I got Deonta Freeman from the Falcons, and basically didn't play last year because he was injured. I got Chris Carson, Seattle. He always gets hurt. And I got Austin Eckler with the Chargers.
Nothing wrong with that.
He'll be a backup in a week.
But guess who stop it. Melvin Gordon's not signing. So tell him who your receivers are.
Well, I did okay there. I got Mike Evans.
There you go.
Tampa.
He won the league for me last year.
1,500 yards. Mm-hmm. And I've got Adam Thielen with the Vikings. I know you like him.
No, I don't. I love him.
No, you love him. Well, you got Stephon Diggs on yours. So
yeah, but I'd rather have
split
Thielen.
The love
I'd rather have Thielen.
Exactly.
I'd rather have Thielen.
You know, and I got a warm body at tight end.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, he's okay.
Sandbagger.
He's all right.
You are a sandbagger elite.
You know my best pick, though?
Travis Kelce.
Probably the Rams for a dime.
No, Travis Kelce.
Well, for value, I mean.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah. All right, well, let's look at your team. You got Kirk Cousins. You like him now?
No.
Do you like him now?
I don't like him as much because quarterbacks went cheap.
You like him enough to have kept him, though.
Yeah, yeah, but he's on my team now, so he's family.
And then you got that holdout, Zeke Elliott. Oh, no, he's in camp. He's on the roster.
He's not in football shape, I'm worried.
The best running back in all of football.
Yeah, but that's all I got.
You kept Aaron Jones, the flash of UTEP with the Packers.
Yeah.
Big things, and one of the fastest running backs.
That's a passing team.
In the league.
Knee injury last year.
Who's your third running back?
I don't know that I have a third.
Yes, you do.
So
who you got?
I can't even remember right now. You got me flustered.
And you got Julio Jones, Mr. 2,000 yards.
My third running back is the rookie from Philadelphia, Miles Sanders.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah.
He may well be rookie of the year. But Julio is good for 150 yards each week.
Whatever.
Right. And who's your second receiver? I know it's a stud.
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Yeah, we just talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're loaded. You have superstars at quarterback, running back, and receiver.
I like stars. Stars win fantasy leagues, but my team is really thin, and your team is a lot better.
Well,
I'm still coming after you and Catarino, but I think that your team's better than mine.
Well, there's no reason to come after me. You're the defending champ, and I predict right now you will repeat.
Oh, my God. See, he does that, guys. Y'all know what that is. That's called reverse reaching.
It is not.
He puts it out there so it won't happen. It's a really evil thing to do.
I'm objective.
But that's okay. We'll live with it. But you know what?
What's that?
It's football season officially because the NFL is happening. Are we going to do some picks this season, Duck?
I don't think so.
You don't want to do picks this season?
No. Okay. We got that in the paper.
All right. We got that in the – we don't have NFL picks in the paper, sir.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't have NFL picks in the paper, so we should look at doing some picks. We should look at doing some picks.
Okay.
All right. Well, guys, that'll do it for episode 149 of On Second Thought. We got to thank Greg McElroy for joining us. For Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.